Hey, expats and travelers, welcome to this week's episode sponsored by WorldPost.io, the virtual mailbox service powered by Anytime Mailbox. We'll get to the features and benefits a little later.
If you're interested in becoming an expat, whether you're moving to Portugal or another overseas location, I highly recommend you get your finances in order before you move.
Yes, it's actually really important that you do it before you go.
I know when we first got started, we did not do it that way, but if we knew John McNerney at Green Ocean Global, we would have gone to him, as he's someone that is Lisbon-based and he is experienced with expat financial challenges. So he's a go-to person that we recommend.
Right. He can help you with long-term investments, financial systems, and international taxes.
And he's actually helped us, and producer Dan has used him to explore what it would be like to move abroad and see if it would fit his family's current financial situation.
I think what's great about him is that he gives you personalized plans. He will look into your unique situation and he'll help you out.
And this is honestly what's super necessary, because we get tax questions and finance questions on the YouTube channel and literally no background from the person that's asking us the question. So now we've started to point people to John.
Right, because everyone is different and everyone has their own unique situation. So you need an expert to help you out.
All right, so visit greenoceanglobal.net for contact information and further assistance. Check out the show notes below.
Hello, and welcome, my emerging expat. You're tuned in to Let's Move to Portugal. I'm producer Dan, and I have the distinct honor of bringing you YouTube travelers and our resident Portugal experts, expats everywhere's Josh and Kaylee. Each week, they'll inspire, they'll educate, and they'll accompany you on your journey to Portuguese residency. This week on Let's Move to Portugal, Josh and Kaylee unveil their exciting new venture, Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee, a channel dedicated to their vertical community project. Tune in to discover how they're transforming visions into reality.
Hello and welcome back to the Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal podcast. Kaylee, how we doing?
I'm back. I was gone last week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you could still hear that I'm not great, not 100%, but I'm feeling much better.
Well, I've heard it all week.
Yeah. It was rough. But doing a lot better, even though maybe I don't sound great, but doing well. Yeah,
good.
I've got my coffee here, which I think will help. I was 2 days without coffee. That's when you know something is wrong with me.
That's when something's up. Well, we're excited to do this podcast because we finally have a way to unpack all that has happened with our real estate adventure here in Portugal. This place gives us the space. I think that was the word I was looking for. It gives us the space to breathe and to explain to you what we've done here in Portugal since we moved and where we're at now in our process, our real estate journey here. I'm excited to be able to have the space to unpack it, because I feel like there's a lot to unpack and there may be gaps in some of the things that we have shared and learned about real estate here in Portugal that we need to fill. Because
Because we haven't put it out there.
You mean? Either gaps because we haven't put it out there, or because there's a way you have to craft a YouTube video versus when you put out a podcast. Like, we can just kind of freewheel and talk
just
a bit.
Just talk.
And just talk. Yeah, it's just, you get your coffee and just talk.
Got it.
And I feel like on a YouTube video, you're pressed to kind of condense and distill an idea in a way that maybe you can't communicate everything that you would like to. Some things fall to the cutting room floor. And here we just don't have to do that. So buckle up, listener. We're going to take you on a ride. And the ride does not end today. We'll continue to update. And most of the updates actually moving forward are going to happen on the new channel that we started, Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But this is going to be a different weekly welcome. We've kind of already started, but I think we should just kind of jump into the content. Or do you want to say anything to the people? I know we have some new listeners because I imagine this is going to bring in some new people who don't know who we are. So
right, normally we just start off explaining how the week has been, and I think I already did. Mine was deathly. So for
Facts. We did not get much work done.
Didn't do much. So I don't know if there's much to report. I think we can just jump right in. I mean, obviously, in our normal YouTube channel, we've got an interview coming out with an American who started a cafe here in Porto.
Yes.
So that will be good. And then we're doing a little bit of Portugal versus Spain, because we've done Portugal versus Italy. So you can be on the lookout for that. So that's the content coming out. But if you want to jump right in, we can go for it.
Well, yeah, actually, you do kind of bring up a couple things that I want to say.
Oh, okay.
On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the podcast platforms, this episode goes out on Tuesdays. And so then the next day, tomorrow, I should say, for those of you listening on the day that this gets released, we're going to be at Cafe Passaport to meet up with Emily, the girl that we interviewed, the owner. So she'd love to meet you. We'd love to meet you if you want to come out. You have the date on that? Wednesday.
Josh, look that up.
It's April the 17th.
Yeah.
So April 17th, we're going to be there at Cafe Passaport from around noon. I'll probably be there around 2 hours, grab some lunch, and
bagels.
Then chat with whoever shows up. If nobody shows up, that's okay.
We're still getting bagels
and coffee.
Yes.
And then what I wanted to say as well with that piece of content is that we have kind of a 3-episode run where we're talking about our trip to Southeast Asia. So we're going to Southeast Asia in September for a big conference. It's Nomad Capitalist Live. And really excited about that.
Yeah. So that's not what the 3 pieces are about, but we will mention that in the next 3 coming up. Actually, as you listen to this, 1's already come out, right? So it would be
this weekend. That's what I mean. Yeah, Emily's interview.
Weekend was Emily's, right? Mm. And then we've got the other 2 as well. But yeah, heading to Kuala Lumpur. Ooh.
WorldPost.io is powered by Anytime Mailbox, which means you can get your mail anytime, anywhere, even on your smartphone.
And they really have competitive pricing with their lowest package starting at $5 per month.
Here's a cool feature they have. WorldPost can relay things from the U.S. to Europe. So that includes documents.
Amazon purchases.
Amazon
purchases.
And you can get it to Portugal.
And they have a variety of packages. Some include secure shredding, free junk mail filters, and things like that.
I bet you love that junk mail filter.
Oh, lots of junk mail. I sign up for a lot of newsletters.
She's not joking. So if you're interested in worldpost.io, you can visit the website or check the link in the show notes below.
Okay, let's talk about Lusitana Dreams, because what they're offering is really great.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Dallas actually has grown Lusitano Dreams since we first met him. So he's really getting his process dialed in. The thing that I like about it is it removes the barrier and choke point of the proof of accommodation, because that's been one of the biggest things that the D7 and the D8 for the long-term people have had problems with, right?
Yeah, it's definitely something that is really hard to lock yourself into sight unseen. But here you can have a legitimate contract. You can rest assured that it's going to be a soft landing, because you're coming into a furnished place in a good location and a livable location until you can kind of get your bearings and figure out where you really want to live.
And the cool thing about it is that they can start your lease when you arrive. So you're not like burning a few months of cash, essentially paying for an apartment or paying for a lease that you're not using.
Yeah, that's one that's really hard to negotiate, trying to get a lease that starts when you want to arrive and not when you are actually applying. So the fact that they offer that as a service to where you're not, like you said, burning those months saves you a lot of money.
Yep. Lusitano Dreams offers visa-friendly proof of accommodation. So that could be for the D7 visa or the D8 visa. And their properties include detached houses, apartments, room rentals as well, in different locations like Lisbon, Cascais, Lulay, and they're expanding too. So soon to be Porto and quite possibly Silver Coast.
Yeah, which is really exciting.
So check out Lusitano Dreams for more information. We have a link in the show notes below. So in 2020, October 2020, we moved to Portugal, and we had been living here for about 2 years, and our desire to buy a property, have our own house, have our own apartment started to grow.
Yeah, which for us, that had never happened.
No.
We've lived in a lot of places, and we've never thought about actually buying a place in any of those locations.
Correct. So, well, yeah. I mean, we were definitely—
I hadn't. Had you?
I had.
Oh.
Well, we were priced out of Singapore.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even consider it there. But where were you thinking? You thought there?
Singapore.
Oh, because we love Singapore so much. But yeah, prices were
but
so
high. We were priced out. So it was a very fleeting thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So fleeting that you didn't even mention it to me.
No, 100%. Yeah. That's why I didn't mention it because it just didn't make any sense. We weren't earning the income levels. And I hadn't even thought about it.
So this is the first place actually thinking about it. And I don't know, maybe it's a different stage of life, obviously, with a child. And we have different jobs. So maybe there were a lot of factors. Yeah. Europe, so we are at least closer to the U.S. for family. So it makes a little more sense than something maybe in Asia that's pretty far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it started to make sense.
Yeah, and I would say in a way that this place, Portugal, has felt more like home than other places we've lived. Although we integrated really well and had a great community in Singapore, and it definitely felt like home every time we hit Changi, the airport in Singapore.
The
like,
number one airport the number in the world. One
yeah.
Not the, just us. That's actually ranked.
Yeah.
It's great.
So Singapore did have an element of feeling like home, but Portugal has that feeling as well. It feels like a place that we could be for a while. How long a while is very much up in the air.
Notice we don't say forever.
No.
Ooh, can't do that. That's weird.
But we look at Portugal as a place that we believe in. We want to kind of invest our time and energy in, and then also, yeah, have a home that we can make our own, that when we want to hang a sign, we don't have to get approval from anybody. Although, Antonio, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Our landlord is amazing. But yeah, so we made this decision to buy after about 2 years living here, and we looked at several apartments kind of in our price range across kind of that time period. We were about a year here and we started looking at stuff, but we hadn't really made the decision to buy. We weren't in a financial position to buy. We had a lot of money tied up in real estate in the U.S. And things at that point, we're talking about like 2021, things at that point were not ballooning the way they did during 2022 and 2023.
Right. Prices were still quite reasonable. But when we looked at apartments, we had our budget in mind. And it's funny, we looked at some really nice apartments that were right at our budget, maybe a little bit above.
Yeah.
And now those would be so much more expensive thinking about it.
Some of them double. I mean,
crazy.
Yeah.
But they weren't, I mean, I think if they were for us and like if we felt like this is it, we would have bought it. So it's not like we feel like an opportunity lost. But I think what ended up happening is we started seeing these renovated apartments that maybe were in older buildings. The apartments would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. They looked great, but they were in older buildings. And so the question kept coming up, what's behind the walls, you know, or what's in the roof or what's above me, below me? Like, have they renovated recently? The plumbing.
The electrical.
That, so that really got us thinking about how good of an idea is this or now what, right?
One of the reasons. Yeah, I think a lot of things that were done to the apartments that we saw were cosmetic. Mm. And it came down to the fact that someone had bought the unit in a building and they were like, well, I want to make this more presentable, more marketable. How can I do that? And it's like, well, I can paint the walls. I can put new cabinetry in. I can do this thing to give it an aesthetic upgrade. But the structural part of a house is really important as well. So we were nervous about that. And then we started to really explore and get feedback from other people that we know that bought apartments like that. And they said, yeah, everything was good until about, you know, 1 to 6 months in. And then they start finding the problems that existed behind the walls. So we started to think, like, how can we mitigate these risks? How can we mitigate the risk of buying a unit and then the whole building itself turns into Airbnb? And
because that was before the law.
Yeah. And I was going to say the government kind of took care of that issue. But that was one of the motivating factors for us to pursue the vertical community venture.
Right. Because also, too, we weren't super interested in a new build because that obviously would be completely new. We really wanted to find a building that had been renovated, restored, right? There's so much beauty in Porto, and there are so many older homes that need some loving and need restoration, and we want to be part of that. We want to live in something like that, not necessarily live in something that had an old look, but maybe the facade was an older look and the inside was updated. So we were looking for something a bit more like that. So we didn't really pursue new builds either.
No, not at all. I mean, I think one of the things that was a big impression on me is that the further we got into content creation here in Portugal, and like realtors reaching out to us wanting to film and having developments they wanted to show us and stuff to possibly get on videos, we started to see new developments, not new builds, but developments in old buildings, like historic buildings, where the facade was phenomenal. And then inside, once you step in, there was elegance, modernity, luxury, charm, like older world charm with some of the details and features, very well blended all together. And it made you feel like, oh man, this is like kind of the high life here, like living in the city, in this old historic building with the modernity that you kind of look for,
Nowadays,
yeah.
Right.
So all of these things kind of had a big impression on us in terms of what we wanted to look for. And then it was just a matter of like, well, how do we pull this off? And the thing that kept coming to mind was to just kind of do it as a social experiment and a collective. Like, can we bring people together to harness the power of like cash and kind of throw at this project? So that's really how the Vertical Community Venture started, whereby we reached out to our YouTube community.
Wait, though. Before that, I think the idea started at a guy's night. I think you came home one day after having a guy's night, and you had come up with this idea. You all thought it was a great idea. And initially, didn't you say, we should all do it together?
Well, I mean, I think that this idea had – the idea of a vertical community had not just been here in – Portugal, that we had talked about it, because we had talked about it with our friends that had, you know, been from other places, right? Zach and Sam, shout out to you
guys.
Yeah,
lived, like other expats we've met along the way.
Yeah.
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 But I think that the idea really came up. You did come home one night and talk about it.
Yes. So there is an element of that for sure. But I very much lead these kind of crazy, wild ideas in our relationship.
This is true.
I'm the visionary, if you will, and Kaylee's the integrator. So there was a conversation at a dude's night, and I don't know how serious the guys were. I mean, I guess now we know how serious the guys were. Not very serious.
None of them are bought one, yeah.
But I think that the feedback that I heard from them is it was interesting and they were into it, but I didn't necessarily think that it was going to happen with them. But that's just too difficult. So we reached out to our YouTube community and did all that.
Who is really interested, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it started out as this idea, and then we started the search process in 2022, like really in earnest. We got some really good initial traction with the properties that we were finding on the market. Certainly the prices of the properties at that time made sense. Those very same properties now, like in the same condition they are back then, now wouldn't make sense because of the way prices have gone both on the purchasing side and the rehab side. But we also partnered with Savvy Cat Realty, who helped us with the search and helped us with the acquisition. We did use Idealista, like many people out there that search for homes. Just what's out there? Okay, I'm going to go on Idealista. That's the main site we use. There are a couple other sites, but basically all real estate tends to get dumped onto that site. And it's the Wild West on there.
Dumped. That's a really good way
to put
it.
That's the way to put it. And then we in the whole process of this, we just continued to learn about the real estate here in Portugal, whether it be through reading stuff, talking to realtors, talking to real estate experts, just digging deeper into kind of what all the messes and complexities there were in real estate here.
Right. So I'll just say we had a really good and have had, I mean, they've helped along the way, a really good relationship with Savvy Cat Realty, good experience. So if anyone's interested in seeing how they can help you, then you can contact us and we can introduce you.
Yeah.
They've been good.
Savvy Cat was an excellent resource for us, and it wasn't completely flawless. There were problems, and I think it's fair to say, like, some of the problems we ran into with them had to do with staffing. We certainly had an issue that arose with one of the employees that was basically our case manager, what we call it that?
I guess our go-to person. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So our main contact point here in Porto, he suffered an injury in a motorcycle accident. So then we kind of like lost that contact point. We were given a new person. That person was then having to deal with two workloads. And then they were having to onboard this other person to take over our initial person's workload. And it just became like, okay, who do we talk to? So that happened for a couple of months, but it all got sorted out. And obviously, like, these things happen.
Yeah.
It is life. But we had a close enough relationship with Anna, who's the CEO from Savvy Cat, where she very much kept us in the loop to the best of her abilities. And overall, would definitely recommend Savvy Cat.
Yes. Yeah.
We do recommend Savvy Cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were great helping us with the search. I mean, so the first person we had, and he's okay from the motorcycle accident. But what was nice is a lot of stuff wasn't listed. You'd find things on Idealista, or sometimes we'd walk around because we were very specific the neighborhood we wanted. So
So
he would actually walk around and he'd see buildings that didn't have a for sale sign but weren't going anywhere, right? Mm. And he would knock on doors and try to find out, like, how can I contact whoever owns this?
Yes.
So that having that type of resource, and they still do that. I mean, obviously he stepped away and then they brought someone else in who she followed us through the rest of the way, was there at the signing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She did that stuff too. She was, you know, so it's great that they have, you know, locals who are able to just chat with, like, the neighbors and stuff and try to figure out what's going on, because some stuff, a lot of stuff is not on Idealista.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot that is, but there's a lot that's not.
There'll just be a for sale sign on the outside of a property with a contact number, and that's it. Like, you don't know what it is that's being sold. It's just like this building. It could be the building. It could be an apartment in the building.
And how many times did you call one of those numbers and no one picked up? No one picked up.
Man, there's a great piece of land in Combatente.
And no one picked up.
No one picked up.
Anyway, so they've been great. So then moving on, are we getting to where we signed or not yet?
Well, not yet. I mean, we ran into some issues during the search because the search criteria that we had was so tight due to one of the people that wanted to invest with us, wanted to invest in this collective. Initially, the idea was we collectively invest together. We didn't know whether or not we were going to have to form a company or how that was going to work. But we felt like it was going to be okay to cross that bridge when we got to it, instead of like going ahead and forming a company and formalizing the partnership among the people who were interested in investing. And we had three other families that wanted to invest with us. And one family had a very, very difficult search criteria, like box to tick off, which was they needed their apartment to be all on the same floor and at least 100 square meters. And if you know anything about Porto, the city center, a lot of the buildings are long and narrow, and the footprints are not 100 meters. So that was our most challenging thing in our search criteria. And inventory was low, period. Like, in the neighborhood we wanted to buy in, near the street we wanted to be on, or on the street we wanted to be on, search criteria was low. Prices were continuing to rise during this time period. But then in early 2023, we finally identified a place, actually revisited a place that we saw earlier, and we revisited it because the family that couldn't be in a place that was less than 100 square meters dropped out.
Yeah, and actually in the meantime, I think we picked up a new one,
yep.
And then a couple others dropped out too.
Yeah, so end of the day,
it was chopping and changing.
Yeah, end of the day, we basically had us and another family that was willing to kind of move forward together.
Right, and I think once
which is important for later in this story.
Once it got real and we were like, okay, we have the place. That's when I think some people were wavering, I guess you could say.
No, 100%. I think that's a very accurate way to put what happened. It was like I revisited this place. We felt like being on the ground, it was the right place based on availability, based on what it was going to cost to acquire it and rehab it, and the permits that were already on the property. So like the projected timeline from purchasing to finalizing or moving in was good enough to where it was like, this is the place. And if this isn't the place, guys, there's no place right now.
Yeah. I mean, it had been, 2 years that we had been looking? Year and a half or so?
Year and a half, yeah.
And while the location wasn't on our favorite street, it's still in our favorite neighborhood. And correct. It's in a really good location. So while that, we had to say, okay, do we want to give that up? Hmm. It made sense with all the other boxes, I guess, being ticked. Everything else looked good.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we're ready to do this.
Yeah.
And some people dropped out.
Yeah, exactly. But we felt confident enough because of the price, the initial price that was being offered, that we could actually at least acquire it ourselves. We didn't have to go through the kind of partnership agreement, form a company or form an LLC or LLDA, I believe is what it is here, to then move forward to acquire the property using a company. We could do it personally under our names and then move forward with financing the rest of it. So financing the rest of it looked as it would be a mortgage plus cash from people buying the units.
Right. So we went ahead and got pre-approved.
Yes.
So we saw what we were working with.
Yes.
And
this when things this when things when started to get complicated. So we put an offer in on the place. We went lower than the list price because we felt like there were going to be some hurdles and some things that could justify why the price should be lower. And I feel like we were well within our right to lower the price. The offer was accepted. The ball got rolling pretty quickly after that.
Right. And then I guess the biggest issue for us is a lot of stuff hit when we were on our cruise back from – so we went to the U.S. for a visit. Of course. So we've got like footage of me sitting on the phone with Millennium trying to transfer over the money for the CPCV because you either have to do that in person because it's such a large amount or you have to get on the phone.
Yeah.
So that was fun because we were back in the States. So we did that. And then a lot of stuff needed to happen when we happened to be on that 2-week cruise across the Atlantic where, you know, internet's not great.
Yeah.
So Josh was freaking out.
And it was a massive timing issue and like order operation issue. And I want to say this kind of as a warning if you're looking at purchasing a property. What happened for us is we used our, I believe it was our 2021 taxes, tax returns to get pre-approved. So they were looking at our finances from 2021. But we were around the filing period for filing for 2022. So because of that, we probably should not have put in the offer without actually getting our like current paperwork because there was a bit of a lag. Like we're talking about a several month lag between knowing that pre-approval number and then actually putting our deposit down and everything, or let's say putting in the offer and then having to put the deposit down. So because there was that lag, we now needed to supply our 2022 taxes, tax returns, to secure the money from the bank. And that's when it got a bit crazy because it meant that we needed to file our taxes while in the middle of the Atlantic with horrible internet and just being in a massive, massive time crunch. Being a foreigner, being an American that lives abroad, you can file for an extension on filing your taxes. You're not beholden to the April 15th date. You get until June, I believe it is, mm-hmm. if you file for an extension. And the guy that we do our taxes with,
always do an extension
for years. I mean, he just
does it automatically.
Ahead, files the extension, gives a bit, a bit extra time.
But the thing was, is we were in the ocean like soon after April 15th. So for them here in Portugal, they were like, well, you should have already filed, so you should have your new tax returns.
Yeah.
And we're like, but we haven't filed yet. We don't need to. But they're like, but we want to see your new tax returns.
Well, they were not going to move forward with our mortgage paperwork.
Right, yeah. Because you can get pre-approved. I think you're good for like 3 months. And so we were really close to that time frame. But I think because we had passed another tax period where we could file in the U.S., they wanted to see the new ones.
Yeah.
So that was stressful. So then here we are, not having fun, but sitting there trying to file our taxes. I mean, our tax guy was great. He's
amazing.
Like, we put stuff in a platform for him, and then he files, and he's like, give it to me, and I'll do it. So
he really pulled in a favor for us. So we appreciate it, Stephen. Mm. Okay, so after all of that was done, there was definitely some back and forth on, not necessarily like negotiating what was happening with the purchase, but the supplying of documents. It got very, very messy because the sellers did not have an attorney that was representing them at that time. So it was our representatives, being João, who's our lawyer, and Teresa, who was our point person with Savvy Cat, who essentially was like an agent in this.
Yeah.
They were the ones going back and forth with the owners. And I would foolishly interject myself, just trying to speed things up and, just essentially trying to get things done faster. It got very messy, needless to say. But we do end up getting to our closing date, which is June 2023.
Well, that got pushed as well because some of it as well is the bank's fault because they'd be like, we need this document. And we'd be like, we already gave you that document. Here's proof that we gave you that document. And they'd be like, oh, yeah.
We have that document.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, well, we need this one. And we'd be like,
you already have it.
No. They'd be like, you need this. And we'd be like, you never told us you needed that, though.
Oh, yeah.
We need it now. Yeah. And it's like, don't you have like, again, a platform that you can submit all this stuff with like a list of everything. Mm-hmm. So it felt very disorganized for a bank to be doing this.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that as well. So just strap yourselves in that stuff if you're looking to buy.
Yeah, which isn't uncommon.
Yeah, no, it's very normal.
And this is where, this is where it goes back to like, well, should I just make a cash purchase or should I purchase with a mortgage? And I would say it very much depends. I mean, there are positives to using a bank and getting a mortgage, not just monetary, but also on the kind of checks and balances side of things, whereby a bank will do a lot of due diligence and want a lot of due diligence done, whereas we've heard about people making cash purchases and the correct due diligence wasn't done and they didn't actually buy what they thought they were going to buy, or there was, a lien on something, or there were problems.
Because, like an inspection, right? I mean, like the bank goes in and does
an inspection.
An appraisal.
Yeah.
So you do have that stuff that the bank does. Yeah, pros and cons for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up closing in June 2023.
On São João.
São João. So that
it was either going to be a very happy or a very sad São João because the day had been pushed several times.
Yeah.
And so we're like, can we please just get to closing? I remember telling our lawyer, please get us to closing before I strangle Josh. Because it was a rough few weeks, like with all the delays and stuff. But we made it. And it was a very happy São João for us.
It was a happy São João. and thus really began kind of the next phase of our real estate journey, because now we were property owners here in Portugal. And we kind of had to work on the next group of actions and activities that we had to do to now prepare this building for being 6 units. So we bought a property that had, it's a main building on a main street, and then there's this kind of annex to the property that's on a side street. And the main building is going to be made into 5 units. That's what it was approved for. We bought a property that already had plans on it. It's called a PIP. and you can have a PIP, and then you can have something that's even higher than that, where you have a like a full project approval.
And well, let me just say this: the PIP is something that a lot of people, when they buy a place and that they want to make renovations, and they say, "Oh, but it takes years to even get started." The PIP is the thing that you need.
Yes.
So that's the approval through City Hall, right?
Yeah.
So if you buy a place that already has it, then you can bypass those couple of years, and you are allowed to make changes to the PIP, which doesn't take as long. Right?
It doesn't take as long.
As long to get approved.
That's key.
Yeah. So just, I guess, thinking about that, the PIP is the thing that expedites some of that sitting around waiting time before you can do anything.
Yeah. So our next step after purchasing the property was to get with the architect and figure out, okay, what are we actually going to do with this building? How are we going to get plans or like, you know, project blueprints, because we need those more or less as marketing to sell the units that we have that will then fund the project itself.
Right. And obviously before we bought the place, we had already had our architect and engineer go in, talk to us about it.
We got quotes from several of them.
So we didn't just go into that blindly as far as like how much stuff should cost for materials and price per square meter and everything.
Yeah.
So we had done all that, which is how we knew that pricing would be good for the purchase of it.
And to give you an indication of like what those prices were, this was 2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Beginning
of 2023 when we received the quotes, and the quotes ranged from 800 euros per square meter to 1800 euros per square meter from the different companies. And the companies had different levels of service. And the low end, the low end did not provide plans. They were just on the construction side. They could build the pre-approved plan that the architects before had placed. Or if we wanted new architectural plans, we could get those, pass them off to the builder, and then the builder would build at 800 euros per square meter.
Right. So anyway, we went with a company.
We didn't do that.
No. Well, we didn't really like the plans anyway of what was originally the original PIP. We wanted to get those changed. So we went with a company that did everything in-house, because that's another thing that we've heard is that when you have different companies doing different things, then this is where you get a lot of delays, because they can't control, okay, now we need to lay the concrete, so we have to hire this concrete team. Oh, well, they're not ready for another month. So then you just sit there and wait till they get there. And
You're sounding really congested, so if you want to take care of that, I can I can keep us moving forward.
All right, I'm going to go blow my nose, guys.
So the company that we use, the name is Pedra Líquida, and it's a company that we found out about because we hosted an event at one of their properties. They have a couple of hotels and developments here in Porto, as well as other parts of Portugal, but they're based here in Porto. And one of their properties is Tipografia do Conte. It's an amazing boutique hotel, award-winning design, just phenomenal spot. And when I walked into this place, it got me very curious about who built this, who's the architect, the designer. Lo and behold, it's the owner of the hotel is an architect and has a company, and that's Pedra Líquida. So we end up contracting with them, and they basically say, our contract says we're going to do all of these things in a turnkey way, meaning that we'll do the architectural plans and the actual work, and have it returned to you June 2025. So 2 years.
I'm back, by the way. I was just going to say the nice thing about this is, so she has all the company itself has all the different teams, so they can time the different projects that they're working on, is all their stuff, obviously for different clients, but they can time certain things of when like concrete, for example, needs to be laid. So that team will be ready to go, as opposed to waiting a month or something to get a concrete team in, something like that. So that's where stuff can go a little faster.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say is the confusion that happened with me when we were having these meetings with Alexandra was, all along the way, she kept saying, this was before we signed with them, Because we did need like to have a lawyer involved. We were absolutely recommended by SavvyCat to have a lawyer involved between the contract with us and the company we were going to use. And I would recommend that to you if you're going to do that as well. If you're going to have any contractor work on a property of yours, get a contract and get a lawyer involved to do that contract. So all along the way, Alshandra, full confidence is like, it's going to take 14 months to do these works. Maximum 16, but she's like, it'll take 14. I mean, it was like rock hard confidence. But then we get to the very date that we actually sign and on the contract that we've made with Pedra Líquida. And mind you, this is around like June time, 2023. She says, or puts in the contract that it's June 2025. And I'm like, well, wait a second, that's 24 months. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Little did I know.
She's smart. She's been around the block. She knows.
How intelligent that was. Basically, 10 months were built in due to kind of bureaucratic and administrative problems that
she knew would happen.
Yeah. And boy, was she right. The very, very great thing about her proposing this date of June 2025 was that we then had a date that we could tell potential buyers of units when the completion was. So instead of like really, I don't know, cutting our time and making contracts with people for 14 months, it was it's going to be June 2025.
The projected date, yeah.
Now, those of you who have already done real estate here in Portugal and done properties, projects, you're probably like freaking out right now because you're like, no way, it's going to run over. Like it's going to be, you're going to have disaster after disaster. You could be right. We don't know. Like this story isn't over yet. But the next phase for us became selling the units, right? We didn't have any funding.
Yeah. We needed money.
We had our own cash. We had the cash from the other family that was investing with us, but we needed more money.
Well, yeah, of course we needed to sell the units to help fund the construction.
Yeah.
Which we did.
Yeah, I mean, we had Pedra Líquida start on the redesign, not using the plans that we already had in place, but you creating new plans and then taking those and letting our community know this is now more or less what we have available. These are the T1s, these are the T2s, the one bedrooms, the two bedrooms.
Right. So we were able to sell those. And that was a process as well because, you know, we would recommend that the buyer has a lawyer and then we had our lawyer and then they'd go back and forth on certain negotiations within the contracts. And that stuff just takes time.
Time.
But yeah, they're all sold. So we – well – yeah, they're all the ones that we want to sell are sold, and then we could get going. So we thought.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. I do want to just back up and mention that Kaylee and I have talked about this turnkey project with Pedra Líquida, and essentially what that means is it means that they're doing both the architectural component and the project works component, but because they're selling it as this package, it means for a lower EVA. Or what do we call it? VAT, value-added tax, English. So because it's that lower tax, it's a massive, massive savings. I mean, when you're talking about like sales prices of hundreds of thousands of dollars or euros, and a percentage point means that you're talking about thousands, right? The savings were in the thousands, tens of thousands of euros.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a perk to doing the turnkey.
It's the difference between, I think it's 6%, 6 or 7%. I believe it's 6% on this service versus 23%.
Yes.
Yeah. So when we were offered the turnkey, we knew that we would need to have more cash up front to pay the deposits on this turnkey offer, but it was going to save a lot of money, 17% in the long run.
Right. Okay.
If I'm doing
so
my
then,
math right.
Yeah. Sounds right. So the units have been sold and now we're, you know, getting permits and stuff because of changes with the PIP and going through that process. I mean, Pedro Liquida was the one doing all that stuff. So it's a lot of back and forth with City Hall and everything, getting approval. You've got to get all sorts of approvals, you know, for a demo to block the roads. So they can bring the machines in and set up the crane. There's just all sorts of paperwork.
Yeah.
And that stuff takes time.
it takes a ton of time. It's a long and multi-step approval process. And I think what happened for me, my kind of most neurotic moment was during the purchase side for us. I was very anxious about it. We actually made a video about it. We'll link it in the description section, or show notes. But the process that we've been going through over the past several months about getting new approvals has been much less.
Yeah.
Like much less stress. I have a lot of trust and faith in Alshandra.
She keeps saying we're still on target dates.
And that's the crazy thing is like every month that goes by and we haven't started demolition or demolition hasn't started, I'm like, Alshandra, are we okay? Are we still going to make the June deadline date? Because we have contracts with other people. And if we don't meet that date, there could be repercussions. So she just continues to say yes. She's like, look, I've built all this in. And that's when it dawned on me. That's why you said 24 months, but you said it'll take 14 to actually get the works and everything done.
Right. So then we hit, it's around November time. All right, we can get going. But then we discover this thing, Aru, right?
Yes.
You want to explain what
so
that is?
Aru is a, let me see how to put this in a way that will make sense easily. Aru is an acronym in Portuguese. And it's basically talking about a rehabilitation urban area whereby if you rehab a project in this area, there are tax incentives. And the tax incentives can be getting a tax refund on some of the taxes you paid when you purchased the property. And those transfer taxes in Portugal are no joke. Like, in the States, we pay transfer taxes. We pay taxes when we first purchase a property. And then you have your annual taxes, your property taxes that are generally high, I would say, depending on what city or county you're in or state. In Portugal, it's very front-loaded. You pay a ton of taxes up front. But then after you own the property, the annual property taxes are, by American standards, like ridiculously low. I mean, I'm talking like a couple hundred a year. So for this reason, we wanted to pursue this Aru process because it meant that if we were approved and our building did fit the criteria, but you have to go through a couple stages of approval. But if we are approved, we're talking about getting back a couple tens of thousands of dollars. And not only that, but the first person that you sell the unit to is also able to get either that money back or discounted, whatever, or it's not at all. The tax is not applied at all.
Yeah.
So because of this, we kind of reached out and let the buyers know, hey, this is the process we're going through. We're going to have to delay starting demolition, but it could save you 10, 15, maybe 20 grand.
Right. It definitely seemed worth it. One of the big things is they're backed up with, they have to send someone out to take a look at it because you have to prove that you lift it up to a certain level.
The energy efficiency is raised.
So,
yeah.
So they said, you know, a lot of people take pictures and videos, but you're not technically supposed to do that. So they could be like, this isn't valid, even though there have been cases that it's already gone through with that. So we didn't want to risk it because obviously we have loads of videos and pictures of it. So we could show how much better it got, right? But we just decided we should wait for someone to go out there. It made more sense. So that was just more waiting because you have to schedule that.
Yeah.
They're backed up.
So well, not only are they backed up, but it's also the time of year. We're coming into like the massive holiday period when we're applying for all this stuff. So, you know, business days get shorter and shorter. The number of business days during December and beginning of January are cut like crazy.
And then the person who was assigned to us got sick, remember? And they had to reschedule weeks later.
Yeah, we had a date and then that person got sick. So it got pushed another 2.5 weeks. that's when I started to get really annoyed and I freak out, maybe a little too strong, but I got, I didn't know. I didn't freak out.
The freak out was with the purchase. That was a freak out. This wasn't as bad. 100%.
So demo finally started in February of 2024, but then we found asbestos.
Which we knew that that was a high possibility that it would be found. Petter looking at it knew that. And it was a small amount, but still, there's more paperwork.
Yeah, but the problem is like you have to get an official approval to have the asbestos removed, like a safety removal approval. And that was another like several week process to have that done.
Because also too, there's a, they have to set a specific date because a police officer comes out to like facilitate and monitor.
Yeah.
And right now the police officers are on strike. Yeah. So there's,
There's less working, less availability, and just an absolute mess.
Just another slowdown.
And kind of the last hurdle we've run into is that we lost our position to have the crane raised. So, like, you have to have an approval, essentially.
And a police officer for that, too, yeah.
To have the crane built, right? They don't just rock up with this, like, 100-meter crane and just, you know, just boom,
go
set
ahead,
it straight
here we
up.
Go.
You know, they have to build it. And we lost our a position to have that built, and we won't be able to get that approval until, I think it's, April 18th. So in a couple of days.
You need approval. No, like it actually goes up. It's been approved, I thought.
Well, I think it just got approved, and that's the thing that we just paid 1,700 euros for.
So it's been approved, and yeah. It's supposed to go up soon.
Yes.
So, I mean, demo is fully...
Demo has started, and that's where I guess I want to tell you that our first video on the new channel that's going to be documenting this rehab process, Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee, that is going to take a look at kind of our first days of demo, and I'll catch people up to date on this story in the condensed way and kind of what we were experiencing in the moment, because we filmed all of that stuff, showing up to the property, thinking things were going to get done, nothing happened.
Nobody's there. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, so we're actually moving forward. Like we are building, well, breaking things down
to build up.
So that's where we're at now. Kaylee, what have you learned in this process?
Patience. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm not really freaked out the way that you have. I've been very calm through it. Mm. And I think it's because Alshandra has been very confident. So I've really... just said, okay, she should know what she's doing. She's been doing it for over 20 years here in Porto as well. So
Yeah. She
should know what she's doing. I think she knows what she's doing. Mm. And so she's been calm. So I've been calm. So I guess the learning process for me would be it is really important to have a lawyer, to have people in the industry. It's worth the money to hire that. I think doing it yourself just will lead to disaster because – it's a new, you know, if you're not from here, you don't know exactly how it works. But there's just always someone you have to talk to, something you have to do. So if you don't speak the language fluently, then you're going to have difficulties there. There's all these little appointments you have to go to. So having someone there with you is much nicer than trying to navigate it yourself.
So I think for me, what I've learned is to let the professionals take the lead. Ask a bunch of questions, ask not in a way that you're questioning what they're doing, but you're asking for clarification because I want as a developer now, I guess we're quasi developers. I want to be able to let the people that have invested and believed in me know what's happening and know that, you know, to the best of our abilities, the situation is under control. And really, it's the government side of thing that just slows everything down. It's not for a lack of like effort on the side of the businesses, the Portuguese businesses that are involved in real estate, but it's really the dang government.
Yeah.
And I don't want to slag the government off too much. I don't know their inner workings and I don't know their checks and balances, but I just wish they would speed things up a bit faster.
Some things seem quite inefficient.
Yeah.
So
I always find out with governments though,
that's true
with right. Administrative bureaucratic stuff. What's been the most challenging thing that you've noticed in all of this?
The government.
the government?
Yeah, just the some of the steps you have to do. You're like, why? You know, just inefficiencies and then not communicating with different government entities, I guess, that have to do certain things. It's like, can't they just share this information with each other rather than having to submit it on all these platforms or go to these different appointments that seem the same? So some of that stuff seems a little silly, but I think that's just normal everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Little hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest challenge has been I get irritated when people set fixed dates and then they reschedule, like, you know, 48 hours out
It's happened so much. Growing experience.
No, I don't want to grow like that. Honestly, like, I don't want to grow like that. Like, if you say a date, just meet the date. Just show up. Just show up. Like, cancel your other things. Don't cancel on me, because every time it gets canceled on me, it just pushes things further and further back. It irritates me so bad.
Obviously.
So bad.
All right. Moving on. What's been the most stressful thing for you?
I mean, in the whole process, easily was at the purchase side of things.
Yeah.
I made mistakes that, that just stressed me out. Because I don't like to be the guy to set a date and then have to push things back. Because I know how much it bothers me.
Yeah.
You, stressful? You haven't been stressed really at all.
No.
I feel like you don't understand the weight of, like, the heaviness, the weight of this. Not the W-A-I-T weight.
No, I just – the confidence – okay. So also throughout this, which is why I think it's important to have a lawyer who's Portuguese, he was very comfortable and confident as well. So the fact that he was like – it's okay. This is normal.
He's not
made me feel okay.
but also he's not confident about the completion date.
Well, that. But I'm talking about like the purchase. Throughout the purchase, he was like,
"You're right.
This is normal. This happens all the time." And he's like, "It shouldn't happen all the time, but we're in Portugal. This happens all the time. So this is the standard."
It irritates him that's the standard. Like he hates when the excuse and Anna with Savvy Cat hates when the excuse of like, well, this is Portugal.
It's Portugal, yeah.
Is made. Like they both get irritated by that because they expect more out of their country, which is cool. I think things will change when that happens, when more people kind of take that mentality.
Definitely.
Then things will change. So who's helped us the most in this process? I think we have to give a couple shout outs.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes. So I would say Raphael for the mortgage.
Amazing.
Working
with him was so easy.
So
and he was the one really during the whole process of getting paperwork to the bank. He didn't need to kind of be in and amongst it, but he just put himself in and amongst it and was like, guys, we need this, this, and this. We've already sent this. Let's go.
He was
pushing it.
Yes.
Loved
he
it.
Was pushing the bank as well. So if you like an introduction with him, you could email me. I'll introduce you. He was good. João, our lawyer. Also, if you want an introduction, actually anyone we talk about, if you're interested, then just email us and we can introduce you.
Yeah.
He was great as well.
I really liked Walnut Construction as well. It was a company that we didn't use, but we got a quote from them. Pedro was really easy to talk to, get on with.
I think the big thing with them was they're based in Lisbon as well. So
yeah, they have an office here, but I think it was also price, because for us, one of the things that we wanted to do was to keep the price per square meter as low as we reasonably could. And it was just a price thing.
So that we could sell the units at a reasonable and not inflated price like we were seeing.
Yeah, we want to fight against this kind of inflated price. And granted, you know, we wanted to try to keep it around 3,000 is what we were looking to do. It became very difficult. I mean, the current market is like 4,000 plus. I mean, 45, I think, is kind of a new norm. 4,500 euros per square meter on a project kind of similar to ours. But you can also find projects that are 5,500, 6,000. If it's a small unit, it might be 6,000 to 6,500 euros per square meter. It's bonkers.
It's too much.
Like at the end of the day, like I love Porto, but this is Porto. I mean, those prices don't match up with kind of the street level economics of what's happening in the city.
Right. So Walnut was good. They were really good. We really liked them, but just with pricing. And then, I mean, for us, Pedro Liquida, since they've been here doing it here for like 20 plus years, They know people.
Connections in City Hall.
So yeah. I think that that helped, sway it a little bit as well. But yeah. Walnut was a good option too.
Yeah. So if we're at this point in the process where we're just kind of starting demolition and development moving forward, if you could, would you do it over again?
The whole thing?
Would you do another project?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if the price is checked out,
that would be
the big thing.
That's the thing that concerns me right now.
Because they're still on the rise, right?
They're still on the rise. I mean, so my answer is yes. I would do it again. And I've started to look for other buildings. But the problem, we just had a building priced out in terms of the project and renovation side. And it was like 33% higher than the quotes that we got a year ago in terms of what the construction price per square meter is. That's scary. So it does actually make sense in a way that we're seeing the final product's price being now 4,500 to 5,000 euros per square meter.
So good investment.
Because it's like 33% has been added on. What's kind of changed in you during this process? Has there been any like big kind of transformation either in thought or?
I don't think so.
No.
No. I mean, I guess the only thing that seems to have changed is pricing of things and just obviously since we're in it, we're tracking that stuff a lot more. I think if we weren't doing anything housing related, then we'd have to be more intentional on seeing like what realistic prices are, because sometimes if you go on Edelicia, for example, you'll see all sorts of ranges of prices and you're just like, what is going on? But now that we've been in it for years, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think that seeing the craziness of that, I don't know, has maybe changed my view on housing and how it works, because we're in it a lot more.
Yes.
So knowing about the supply and demand and prices going up and why they're going up and why they're not going up, you know, because obviously media talks a lot about certain things of why they think or pushing something, why it's going up. But
I don't even know if it's media. I think it's as much the government.
Government as well. Yeah, like politics. Them doing different policies that –
You
think will work.
You're talking about like the golden visa by real estate investment.
Well, I mean, some policies that they're doing, it's hard because it's like, for example, with the taxes. So for the longest time, it made more sense to have a short-term like rental than it did a long-term rental, because the taxes were lower on a short-term rental.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because you can charge more on a short-term rental rather than long-term.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, there's no long-term rentals, because why would
a landlord can make more money and be taxed less, be more tax efficient.
Right. Little things like that. But that was a government implementation. Well, now they've realized that.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to, you know, incentivize to go to long term. So little things like that, that it's like the government kind of made the problem and maybe now they're trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Which is good, but then it's like more policies and legislation and you wonder, you know, if they're doing it for the right reasons, of course, just like a lot of governments. But so I don't know. I think we're in this a lot more than I would be if we weren't doing our own housing project at this point.
Yeah.
You?
Well, the biggest thing that has changed for me is because I've now been looking at things from a developer's perspective and looking at other developments and kind of tracking what's going on with that, I see why prices are the way they are. I mean, yo, guys, it is getting expensive to do developments, and the amount of risk that a developer takes on. I mean, I've heard several kind of people in the industry talk about when the developer actually makes money, because it tends to be on the last units that they sell, right? Because the first ones that get sold are funding the actual cost of the project, and then they don't end up making a return until they sell kind of, let's say the back, maybe 20% of the units. And what happens if you get stuck with those, or what happens if there's an economic shift, because there's a lag between when you start a project and when the project is finished and you can turn keys over to buyers. So I understand why prices have gone up.
And it's a big risk. It's a big upfront
risk. It's a massive risk.
Yeah.
And we've taken a massive risk. That maybe I'm a little anxious to obviously see how it turns out and whether or not we have
you have doubts if it will be successful.
Yeah, I think I do. I have confidence in Pedro Liquida. I don't have confidence in the bureaucratic side of things that could strike unknowingly. So that worries me. I have confidence in the people that have bought that if certain things, let's say, don't go in our favor, that are out of our control, that they won't use litigation to strike us.
Because like
legit, we aren't making money on this project. We're trying to solve a problem that we saw and meet a need by kind of doing something out of the box, which is why like we call people on our new channel Rehab Rebels, because we're rebelling against what is kind of the normal approach to kind of rehab or whatever. So wrapping up, will we hit our target date? What do you think?
I'm going to go with a bit of a hesitation. Yes. I think we will. And if not, it's going to be very close. I don't think it'll be like it was supposed to be June 2025 and now it's December 2025. Or I don't think it'll be like that. I think it will be, yes, either the target date or very, very close, off by like 1 month.
Matt, okay.
What do you think?
I think that we'll be finished, but we will not have the habitation license in time.
Oh, because they'll just take forever to get us that.
I think so. I think we've seen too many issues with having a habitation license issued. What that means for the buyers and when they can move in, I have no idea. But that's just kind of where I see things. And I have... So listener, we know that you are preparing to move to Portugal.
We did everything ourselves for the D7 visa. So we have a DIY D7 course. We also have a DIY remote worker course now since they've split those up.
And if you're already here, we have a living in Portugal course for you. Now, the difference between the D7 and the D8 or the digital nomad visa course that you could get is if you have active income, you should be getting the digital nomad or D8 course. If you have passive income, you should be getting the D7 course. And we have a special promotion for anybody that is a listener of this podcast. If you type in podcast at checkout, you will get $15 off.
So these will just guide you through exactly what you need. They stay up to date as things change. And once you purchase it, it's yours for life. So if you're not ready to go now, you can still get it and take a look and you can use it later on.
And Kaylee is a mad lady and she is always updating the course so that it doesn't fall out of date.
Well, I have to because they're always changing things, and so it has to stay up to date.
That's facts.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Let's Move to Portugal. Contact info for all the services mentioned are in the show notes. If you like the show, please subscribe. If you love the show, please tell a friend, connect with us on our socials, and if you want to help us out, give us a review on your podcast player. Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal is produced by Time or Money Productions.
Expats Everywhere researches our guests, and we do our best to provide factual and relevant information at the time of the recording. Despite our best efforts, we can make no guarantees as to the accuracy of what you've heard in this episode. We highly recommend that you do your own research and check your own facts.